Ladies and gentlemen, Ian and I are back. We went through spread 101, 201, 301. How deep we go with the spread is yet to be determined. Today, we're going to talk about run schemes. And specifically, we're going to talk about zone run schemes. This will be zone run schemes 101. We will get further and further in depth in separate videos, but we want to have this just as a primer for you. So when you're listening to Ian and Paul during their deep dive, you'll have a better understanding of the machinations of these schemes. So let's start, Ian. Let's talk, if you could, and I know that this is incredibly difficult, but if you could, in a very general sense, when we talk about a zone run scheme, we're generally talking about what it is that the offensive line is doing. Can you explain what the offensive line would be doing if they were doing zone blocking?
Ironically, the term zone is not really that helpful, especially if you want to differentiate it from other types of schemes. The idea, I think, is that you're blocking a specific space on the field is where you're aiming as an offensive lineman, but forget that for now. The simplest explanation of zone blocking is that it's you're having your entire line step the same direction, generally, in coordination on the same timing in order to basically try to flank your opponent. You familiar with the flanking?
I am.
Just trying to get around them. You're just trying to get to the side of them. And the running back is going with you. And so as a result of everyone moving, you're essentially moving the point of attack laterally as quickly as you can and going there with the running back to create spaces for him to run where the defenders are not, which in turn requires that the defenders also move so that they don't give up that space. And then often where zone schemes really hurt teams is in the cutback lanes that emerge out of that chaos of the defense all scrambling to move with the same quickness and cohesion as the offense is doing, and in turn losing gaps here and there in that chaos. Was that relatively clear?
You did a good job there, Ian. I think he did a really good job of that. Let's look at just an example really quickly. I think sometimes this helps. So what we'll do here is we'll just look at an example of maybe outside run, and you can kind of talk us through some of the things that we may be seeing here.
Outside zone is a great example of this, because outside zone is the most extreme flanking type movement. You can see all the offensive linemen are going to take with their right foot a big lateral step immediately. I guess they're planting with their left foot first. Offensive line coaches will be annoyed with me. But they're all trying to get to their right very quickly with lateral steps and move the lines. And then while they're doing so, they're trying to trade defensive linemen back. So that a defensive lineman that is initially in one gap, they're trying to quickly move and trade him so that he's in the next gap over, right? And just create new gaps and hope that they try to keep the defense from keeping up. And the running back is going to aim really far in their direction with them, see how things are going. And then in this one, he ends up finding a cutback lane, like I said, was common with zone. Depending on how you want to, in one sense, he cuts down the field about where he was initially aiming, but it ends up being on the backside of all of his teammates because they've moved so far.
And as you pointed out, one of the concerns, I would imagine, in this particular blocking scheme is what happens on that backside. So, you know, that's basically a hinge block, right? We're going to put that on the outside backside defender.
So we don't want to get too deep here.
That's fair. No, you're right. That's fair.
There's a large number of ways to do it. In this specific instance, the tight end goes back and he accounts for that backside defender, while the offensive line all moves in the other direction. So you'll see 85 Gunnar Helm. He goes opposite everybody else, and his job is just to make sure that that backside cutback lane is not filled effectively by a defender, which right. He is just able to do on this play. is to find him on the move, but it worked out pretty well. Texas A&M was absolutely hopeless at defending outside zone. I don't remember Texas's rushing output in this game, but didn't they ran for over 200 yards easily, right?
Is it predetermined with the running back a specific hole they want to hit? Are they looking to get outside on an outside run? So it's entirely up to the running back to make that call.
Yeah, this is a specific quirk of zone blocking, is that you on other types of schemes that we'll get into in other videos, the running back has like a primary, this is where you want to break through. Maybe here, but you're aiming here, and this is where you should expect to go. On zone blocking, the running back aims wide on this play, but then he's reading the blocks and going one, two, you know, do I go here? And he finds his lane depending on what happens after the snap. So it's sort of like when a quarterback is dropping back and he's like, maybe we think you're going to throw it to this guy, but you need to go this guy and then this guy and then this guy. And right. You throw it to the first one that's open. The running back on zone blocking has the same process. He's going through a progression. And actually, one of the great gurus of outside zone, Alex Gibbs, would always teach his offensive line the running back's progression so that when they did film study as a team or in their own line room, the offensive line knew if the running back was making the right reads or not and would hold him accountable if he wasn't doing the right thing. And Alex Gibbs found this extremely valuable for turning potentially diva skill players into highly accountable players by making the biggest, strongest, meanest people on the field know exactly if he was doing the right thing or not.
What are some of the advantages and disadvantages?
Zone blocking is very flexible. Like you run it and then you just create problems and then you exploit them as they occur, which is much more flexible. And potentially it's less about imposing your will on the opponent with like a set. I'm just going to smash you in this way and you know it's coming and I'll do it anyway. As appealing as that is in football, it's very hard to do that consistently against even average teams. Their zone blocking is just one of the more flexible ways you can run the ball. That's one big advantage.
And some of the disadvantages?
If the other team is not struggling to fit the gaps as they emerge, then you're obviously in trouble. Basically, if you can't execute it, it can be a little bit less. Can be a little bit easier to game plan for if teams have good zone beating concepts. You may at least need to mix it up in order to have the same return. And then technically, some of the outside zones teams in the NFL get really good play action out of it. But many will tell you that the best way to get truly great play action is by pulling a guard, which is not something that you do in zone blocking. And it just some of the lack of forcefulness will hurt it in that regard. Also, some types of zone blocking don't marry as well with the shotgun formation.
Okay.
Because like if you're in an old school under center, the quarterback turns and gives it to the running back. The running back has more time to see things develop, a better vantage point to see things develop. He has more momentum when he receives the ball to threaten the perimeter and then cut back. When the shotgun, he's just standing right next to the quarterback, more or less, right? And he has to come in and get it, maybe while the quarterback is pausing to read something, because that's why you use the shotgun, is so the quarterback can have other things that he can do. And the running back has to get it and then hit angles and see things that are harder from that vantage point in the gun with less momentum.
Right.
That's a big reason why you don't see like the Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan wide zone systems in the college game to anywhere near the same degree as you do in the NFL, and certainly not as effective.
I want to talk about how understanding what a zone running scheme does can help us in NCAA 25, because that's basically what we're all doing here. But before we do, I want to hear from our sponsor. I'm just going to say, guys, you probably need a fiduciary financial advisor. And I've got the guy for you. His name is David McClellan with Forum Financial. He works broadly and deeply with his clients as a financial life coach. And he should know something about coaching because he won several national championships as a swimmer for the University of Texas. He specializes in financial planning and has contributed numerous articles to Kipling on the topic of retirement tax bombs. So contact David today to be your fiduciary financial planner and schedule a one-hour consultation to assess your financial situations. The free consultation is available, so just give him a call. The number is 312-933-8823. That's 312-933-8823. His email is also in the description below.
Good pause, Ian. All right, so if I'm playing NCAA 25, right? What am I looking at as the quarterback? If I'm reading the defense, what type of defense do I want to see that would indicate to me that a zone running scheme would be effective there?
You want in NCAA, you're going to want to run zone schemes for teams that have RPOs or quarterback run reads, because then it gets very very simple for the team, which doesn't matter in NCAA 2025 because they know what to do no matter what you tell them to do. They just know how to do it.
Yeah.
But you have to know what to do if you're wanting to execute it properly. And so a zone scheme is very simple if it has like RPOs or quarterback runs attached, because then you can know as the quarterback, like, I have six blockers, so I want to count how many defenders are up front. And if it's more than six, I want the play to have a pass option or a quarterback run option attached, so I can choose that when they have all these guys in front of me. And when you're running with the running back, I have found this to work vaguely sometimes in NCAA. I haven't played it a ton. But if you know the running back's reads on a play, you can actually execute them in the game. And it should be more or less true to life. Like, okay, the three technique, we didn't block him effectively, so I need to cut back to the next lane or so on and so forth.
Now, lastly, before we kind of close this out, again, this is intended to be an overview before we really get into the weeds in this. With zone schemes, you're not really imposing your will, as it were. Does this particular run scheme profile to maybe a smaller offensive line, or does that even really matter? What type of offense, and I know you just outlined this with the RPOs, but is there a specific type of offensive line you may look at your roster and be like, you know what, we may be lean more towards zone than maybe gap?
I think the experience level on the line matters a lot, especially if you want to get into outside zone. They need to be laterally mobile because it's an extreme flanking movement, and they need to be very cohesive and know who blocks who when we're on the move and based on what they do. Most college teams major more in inside zone, which is a little less extreme. And one of the typical things that you find, and certainly at Texas, is that college teams that run a lot of inside zone love big, decently mobile offensive linemen. So like the big humans concept.
Sure.
And it, as you noted, zone blocking isn't so much about imposing your will. So the misnomer with big humans is you get the biggest people you can find, and then you impose your will by shoving people around on the football field, right? But that's not actually how it works. The reason, and it's not really why you want particularly big, tall, thick, wide guys. The real reason you want them to be extra big is so that you take a step, the defense steps with you, and then you just become an enormous obstacle between them getting where they want to go. And you rely on like a double team somewhere up front to get actual movement and push. But that's not because the guys are big. You want the guys to be big so you can move the point of attack and then screen guys and have your linemen serve as obstacles. If you really want to get smash mouth and drive people off the ball, you actually often want shorter, faster, more explosive linemen. And with some exceptions in the outside zone game, that's not what you get from zone blocking, and certainly not in college very often.
Great.
I've hit you with a paradox.
You have, but you know what? We're going to get in the weeds on this, and I think those paradoxes will probably become even more paradoxical as we get deeper and deeper into it. But I want to thank you guys so much for being here. These are the little quick little primers. We are going to come back with Zone 201 to really start getting in the weeds in this. We'll talk about inside zone, outside zone, really distinguish those and get really in depth with some examples. But Ian, so we really want to thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.